Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Emily Woodbury in for Elaine Cha. Later in the hour, we'll talk about the ways the medical community is still learning about the effects of menopause, especially for Black women whose symptoms often go untreated. But first, there's a nearly 32-acre plot of land in North St. Louis County that has been through significant transformation in recent years. The historic Black burial grounds of Greenwood Cemetery went from being a place of disrepair, impassable by foot or car, to a beautiful, peaceful space with visible, accessible headstones, a variety of native plants, and a new permeable pavement road in the works. Greenwood's renewal is due in large part to a married couple who grew up in the area, who felt called to restore the cemetery over the past decade. And they're here with us today to talk about it and to celebrate the cemetery's 150th anniversary. Shelley Morris is secretary and historian for the Greenwood Cemetery Preservation Association. Shelley, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
And Raphael Morris is the association's president. Thanks for coming in, Raphael.
Thank you for having me.
And I should add, you know, you both wear a lot of hats when it comes to Greenwood Cemetery. Not only do you do admin work, you know, including building connections with nonprofits and businesses, mm-hmm. but you're also part of the ground crew. In fact, you made up the original ground crew. You know, at one point it was just the two of you working out there with a push mower and some shears. So really kudos to you, you know, getting to visit the cemetery earlier this week. It looks really, really beautiful.
Well, thank you.
So, Raphael, when we met earlier this week, you told me that you decided to retire in order to restore Greenwood Cemetery. What led you to the realization that you wanted to make this your life's work?
Well, I don't know about my life's work.
Or for the rest of your your retirement's work, your post-retirement work. Because you left you retired in order to do this. Is that right?
I did. I don't want to say it was a calling on my part, but it very well may have been. I never would have envisioned 10 years ago doing what I'm doing now. But there's nothing I'd rather be doing than what I am doing right now as far as in the restoration of Greenwood Cemetery. I guess it was a little over 9 years ago, while watching the news one morning, Shelley and I were watching the news, and there's a story about the cemetery in North St. Louis that was in disrepair. And I remember telling Shelley, I said, when I was a kid, about 8 or 9 years of age, I remember my father stopping in front of a cemetery over on St. Louis Avenue, and he told me that I had family in that cemetery. And of course, that went over my head at that age, but as I was watching this newscast that morning, I told Shelley, I bet you that's the same cemetery my dad was talking about, you know, Lord knows how many years ago. So they were trying to form a group that following weekend to see if anybody was interested in trying to do something about the conditions of the cemetery. So I got there that morning, saw just how overgrown the cemetery was, and I felt that this is where I'm needed to be.
And what did you see?
Oh, my. It was absolutely nothing but a forest. You could not see one single tombstone on the property.
So you almost wouldn't know it was a cemetery.
Had people all the time tell me, I didn't know this was a cemetery. The growth was easily 15 to 20 feet tall and so thick you just couldn't even think about trying to look through it to see where you were going. It was just really horrific.
Wow.
So I said, okay, this is probably something I probably need to get involved with. So I told Shelley that, you know, I think I'm going to go ahead and retire and devote my time to trying to do something about this situation. She co-signed my decision and followed me some months later. And here we are 9+ years later, still fighting the good fight. Cemetery is almost 32 acres. We probably have cleared 27, 28 of them. And we've got so much going on right now, there's not enough hours in the day to keep up with everything we're trying to do.
So when he decided to retire, I wasn't quite ready, but I knew that we needed to do something really significant. And so that's when we decided to, in order to really make an impact, we needed to form an organization. So February of 2016, we formed the Greenwood Cemetery Preservation Association. It's a 501c3. And with that, we're able to really connect with other organizations. We're able to apply for grants. You know, so like Raphael was saying, who knew we would be doing this 10 years ago? So things that we didn't know how to do, we're learning.
150 years of Black St. Louis history is included in these nearly 32 acres at Greenwood Cemetery. It was founded in 1874. Yes. More than 50,000 people are buried there. Are you, you know, as you started hacking away at the overgrowth, pulling up headstones, what stood out most to you? What surprised you?
Well, one thing I found was that the cemetery was a lot larger than I thought it was. I didn't realize the cemetery was shaped like a T, and all I could see was the long portion of the T. And when I committed to do this, that's all I thought there was. But little did I know the offshoots went 1,500 feet in one direction and 1,000 feet in the other direction. And I guess I had a brief few seconds of trying to decide had I made a good commitment or a sound commitment or not. But you just never know what you're going to find between just the everyday task of trying to restore order to the grounds, to who may have come by in the night and dumped a couple of houseloads worth of stuff, you know, in the cemetery that you've now got to deal with. So it's a challenge on a daily basis.
Greenwood is on the National Register of Historic Places and the National Underground Railroad Network to Freedom.
Yes.
Shelley, you know, as the historian with the association, tell us about some of the notable people who are buried there.
Gosh, we have a lot of people. One of our most prolific is Harriet Scott, the wife of Dred Scott. She was a freedom suit petitioner who ultimately lost her case before the Supreme Court in 1857. She and her daughters are buried there. Charlton Tandy, who was a civil rights activist in the late 1800s who helped the Exodusters. He was also very big in the Underground Railroad. Lucy Ann Delaney, she was a freedom suit petitioner, and she was also a Masonic founder. Arsenia Williams, who was involved with the YWCA, she was the first Black president of the chapter here in St. Louis at the Phyllis Wheatley Center. We have so many other people, people that were involved in the Civil War. We have Buffalo soldiers that are buried there, World War I and II veterans. So we get to tell a lot of stories of folks that that started their life here in St. Louis. It's been wonderful.
And those chimes we heard at the beginning of this conversation, those are actually at Harriet Scott's tombstone, I believe. So if you're looking for her stone, just follow the chimes.
Just follow the chimes.
What does it mean to you to have this history here so close to home? And would you encourage even people who don't have personal connections to Greenwood Cemetery to come out and to see some of what's there?
I would definitely encourage people to come out and listen to the stories of various people that are there. It is such a peaceful place to walk around and just reflect. You can just learn so much about the struggles of people that are interred there. So many of the people that are buried there, the way they live their lives, their struggles, will tell you what was going on in St. Louis at the time. You know, the segregation, the working conditions, the living conditions of people. So many people die from tuberculosis or some type of lung ailment. So did they live close to where they worked? So were they breathing in those same fumes? You know, how old was that child when that child died? What were the causes? And then you see that there are a number of children that died around the same time. What was going on? So when you start to visit the cemetery and you're in a particular area, you start to notice that, what's going on here? You know, these are a lot of young people that died around the same time. You have to go back and research it. You know, so it's really an interesting place. When it comes to family members, though, the stories that I hear from them are they used to, when they would drive by because there was no entry into the cemetery, they would just stop and blow a kiss in the direction of their loved one. That was the closest that they could get. Now we're getting those calls because they heard that what we're doing, and they want to know, is my mom's area been cleared? And I'm able to tell them yes. I'm able to meet them and take them to where their loved one is buried.
You both have family buried at Greenwood Cemetery. Raphael, I believe you have, among others, an uncle, a grandfather, a great-grandfather buried there. Have you been able to connect with your relatives, with your ancestors, in a different way in finding their graves and learning more about them in the last several years?
Well, I just vaguely knew that I had family in that cemetery. And one day I was cleaning out the family home. Both my parents had passed. And I ran across a Bible. And in the Bible, there were a small stack of funeral burial cards. And looking through those cards, that's how I found out that I had great-grandparents and grandparents and all sorts of aunts and uncles who were buried in that cemetery. Mm-hmm. I have found three relatives so far, my great-grandmother, my grandfather, and an uncle. But I still have two sets of greats that I haven't found yet. And countless uncles and aunts that are still on site there that I haven't located yet. So it's constant motivation for me.
And Shelley, your grandmother, great aunt, and some cousins mm-hmm. are buried at Greenwood. What were you able to find all of their graves, and what was that like?
No, I was able to locate my grandmother, which I contacted all my family members to let them know that I had found her headstone. But there are still many that I'm not able to find, and I'm not sure where those records are. But I'm not going to give up hope on that.
Has working at Greenwood, digging into this history, has it changed your mindset about certain things, be it, you know, the roles of cemeteries themselves, your own family history, or even broader St. Louis history?
For me, I recognize just how important it is for people. I know that some people feel like, well, my mom is gone, and that's all I care about. I don't need to go see where she's buried. But there are so many people that it does matter to. And it's just something when you see two sisters finally come to visit their mother who had died when they were children, and now they're in their 70s, and we show them where their mother is laid to rest, we realize that they never had closure. And now we've given them that. And that's just one story out of hundreds. So I know that what we do is important.
We're talking with Raphael and Shelley Morris of the Greenwood Cemetery Preservation Association, the historic cemetery. In fact, St. Louis's first non-sectarian burial grounds for Black people is celebrating its 150th anniversary. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll learn what it's taken to bring the cemetery back from the brink and the plans to make Greenwood into a haven for not just people, but native plants and wildlife as well. This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Greenwood Cemetery, the first non-sectarian Black cemetery in St. Louis, is celebrating its 150th anniversary this week. The cemetery fell into disrepair in the 80s and 90s, but you would not know that by looking at it today. That's thanks to the work of many volunteers, nonprofits, businesses, and especially the dedication of Shelley and Raphael Morris, who are joining us for this discussion. The married duo are leaders of the Greenwood Cemetery Preservation Association, and they've devoted the past 9 years to making the cemetery an accessible and inviting place for visitors. Earlier, we talked about the why behind this work, your passion for the cemetery, but would you tell me a little bit more about the actual grunt work it's taken to restore Greenwood? I mean, you know, you were telling us about 15-foot grasses and plants, like, and you two went out with push mowers and shears and started to hack away at it?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, we would get out there with those push mowers, and by the end of the day, we would barely be speaking to each other. It was pretty rough. But in those first 3 years, we used, just like I said, the push mowers and loppers and what have you. After that, donations started to come in, and we were able to purchase a riding mower, which made a huge difference.
I bet. And and also, you're lifting headstones? I mean,
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of lifting of headstones. I'm a little too old for that.
Okay. So you had someone else do that work, or thankfully, they were still, a lot of them were upright?
We got a bunch that are still lying on the ground. Some of the smaller ones, you know, maybe one or two of us could wrangle back in place. But we've got some very, very large headstones out there, totally unmanageable. We had an incident a couple years ago where we had some vandalism take place in the cemetery. And a couple juveniles had knocked over about 50, 60 stones. And we were fortunate enough to have a monument company reach out to us and offer to help us out. And we greatly appreciated that.
As this journey has gone on, we have friends everywhere.
That's really nice. And yeah, I mean, you're working with Missouri Coalition for the Environment,
yes.
AmeriCorps volunteers, Engineers Without Borders, American Chemistry Council, the Department of Conservation. And one of the big projects that's recent that you're working on now is this permeable pavement. So when we talk about accessibility, people weren't able to drive in to the cemetery. Tell me about this permeable road.
Greenwood has always suffered from the natural creeks or streams throughout the cemetery. The main road has always suffered erosion, rutting, severe rutting. Well, a couple of summers ago, we had a tremendous rain in St. Louis around July, and the road was damaged pretty much, as far as the ruts were 2 foot wide, 2 foot deep. We had to shut the road down. And Raphael had contacted a volunteer group that had been out, Civil Design Incorporated, CDI. And his whole idea was to get maybe a truckload of rock. Well, they came out, and I always like to hear him tell the story, but they came out and said, "You need a road."
They said, "You need a paved road."
"You need a paved road."
And I said, "You're right, I need a paved road."
And so, this is beyond paved. I mean, these are bricks laid on top of an intricate structure made out of recycled tires. Is that right?
Yes.
No, the bricks itself are made out of restructured tires.
Oh, the bricks themselves. Yeah. I wouldn't know that by seeing them. They look just like regular red bricks.
Yeah,
that is cool.
And it's really going to be a beautiful, beautiful project upon completion.
And in this project, Engineers Without Borders contacted us saying that they wanted to help. We had Metropolitan Sewer District. They're partnering with us to get this done. Washington University and UMSL. But we also, American Chemistry Council, they are just an amazing group of people that have stepped up. They do things around the world. And when they heard about our project, they wanted to see what they could do to help us.
And it seems like this is a really good model for cemeteries that have struggled with upkeep and maintenance. Is pairing with institutions. Do you have any advice for other cemeteries that would like to do this? How do you convince a nonprofit or a business that this is a win-win situation?
You know, we got some advice from a corporation. They said, ask. Have a specific ask, but don't be afraid to ask, because many companies want to, but they don't know that you exist. So it's up to you to make that phone call and just simply ask them, we need some help. And I think that's what happened with you. You reached out.
Yeah.
On that note, I'd like to invite another guest to join our conversation. Jean Ponzi is a green resource specialist with Missouri Botanical Gardens Earthways Center, and she has helped the Cemetery Association connect with companies and nonprofits for both fiscal and volunteer support over the years. Jean, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you, Emily. I'm so honored to get to be a part of this conversation.
Jean, you've helped bring in help from Ameren, Beyond Housing, Forest Relief. A lot of people might recognize those institutions. And a lot of that work is clearing out invasive species at Greenwood Cemetery and planting native species. What was it like to bring in different community members of different backgrounds and generations to do this work?
Well, that takes me back to the first time I actually went to Greenwood and the long time between when I learned about Greenwood and went there. I think it must have been not very long after you started your work that Worldwide Technology, part of my program, the St. Louis Green Business Challenge, brought up Greenwood. They were doing some volunteer work there and wanted to know if the challenge would help promote that to other companies. And then one thing led to another, and I had Shelley and Raphael and Andrea Eftimoff, who was the Worldwide Technology Sustainability Person, and Becky McMahon of DJM Ecological, our oldest and largest ecological landscape company. They were all on my show, Earthworms, on KDHX. And that was a way to get to meet people. Shelley was actually talking. Raphael was sitting off to the side, so I had no idea what kind of a giant of a human being was sitting there quietly while everyone else was talking. And it was just, you know, this kind of a moving story. So having the opportunity to reach out to other companies, Ameren wanted to do a honeysuckle hack somewhere. So let's take Ameren to Greenwood. There's plenty of honeysuckle to hack. And other kinds of connections like that. But after finally getting to go there on the day of the Ameren honeysuckle hack and being very moved by the experience of being there, then I started to think about bringing some plants onto the place, native plants. We had cleared an area on the side of the cemetery with the Ameren crew that has a fence and where there are not any graves. And last fall, with Outdoor Youth Corps, the Ecological Job Corps from Missouri Botanical Garden, and the Ecological Restoration Crew from Beyond Housing, we planted a native tree grove at Greenwood that I like to say is the first living amenity added there. And this year we're going to add some additional bushes and trees to that. Also, Bellefontaine Cemetery, which has been in the Green Business Challenge, they had reached out to Greenwood and started having a conversation about potentially becoming an arboretum, which is a lovely concept. I'd love to be a part of that. So we were able to add 7 species last year with our little planting toward the minimum 25 species you need to be a level 1 arboretum.
And I love that, you know, you mentioned the living amenities at Greenwood Cemetery. And I think that's something cemeteries, you know, as you're walking through, it's this contemplation of human life and community and history. And then there's also this, it's a beautiful place to be in nature. I mean, what do you see as the role of burial grounds of cemeteries in an urban ecosystem?
Well, one thing that a cemetery has always done is been a place, it's like a park. It's a place where people can come and be in nature. And in some cultures, you know, like with Dia de los Muertos, you bring your whole family and you have tequila and cigars for the ancestors. Or in other places, it might be, you know, a more pastoral, a more quiet kind of a remembrance. But I feel really strongly that everyone deserves access to high-quality nature space.
Raphael, you and Shelley, you live in Olivet now, but you graduated from Normandy High School, which is really close, I believe, to Greenwood Cemetery. What do you What do you think of that, of this being not just a space to visit with relatives and loved ones and to think about history, but like a park, a gathering space for anyone in the community?
Since we both graduated from Normandy, it feels like we continue to give back to the community. And I think that's very important to both of us, being graduates of the school, of the school district. We like to open up opportunities for, you know, members, students from the various schools in the district to come to the cemetery and volunteer and be a part of what we're trying to do to make them aware of the history, you know, that's on the grounds there in the cemetery. And we just like to share in everything that we do with the community.
The one thing, though, that I always think about is that with planting trees with Gene, what's happening with the road, you know, Mission Continue coming in and helping us with the benches and what have you, it's helping me to reimagine the possibilities for the cemetery. You know, when you think about young children coming in and, you know, you're not focused in on the bugs, you're focusing in on the black walnut that's on the ground. Let's pick those up. What do you see there? And just teaching, it's an opportunity to teach and to share. So not only do you have the history of those that are interred, but because of the nature and the green spaces that we're helping to, safe green spaces, we're helping to teach those young kids so much. You know, Gene is planting, helping us to plant trees that give back, that, you know, the animals can find nourishment. You know, it's creating beauty, the colors that these trees and bushes will provide. And so when you have these little young hands and you're showing them how big the leaves are, let's go find a bigger leaf, it's just an opportunity to teach and to share and to maybe change a little boy's being afraid outside. All of a sudden he's getting dirty and he wants to find out more and more. You know, it's great.
Well, Shelley, I appreciate you being here today because I know you are hard at work working on Greenwood Cemetery's gala happening this weekend to celebrate 150 years of the cemetery in St. Louis. What are you anticipating with this gala? Where can people find more information?
We're going to hold a gala at the Missouri History Museum. They'll be this Saturday, October 19th, from 6:30 until 9:30. We will have reenactors. We will have live music, of course. We have a lot of musicians that are buried at Greenwood, and so we're going to be playing their music, both recorded and live. It should be really a lot of fun.
That's really neat. So reenactors, someone could meet Harriet Robinson Scott at the
gala? That's quite possible. Or Jesse Johnson, who was a music entrepreneur back in the 40s.
Well, Shelley Morris, Secretary and Historian for the Greenwood Cemetery Preservation Association, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us today.
Thank you so much.
Raphael Morris, President of the Greenwood Cemetery Preservation Association, thank you.
Thank you.
And Gene Ponzi. Gene is Green Resources Specialist with Missouri Botanical Gardens Earthways Center. Gene, thank you.
Many opportunities for companies and organizations to contribute to Greenwood. They're very well organized with your time and contributions. Thank you.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Recorded by Maya Norfleet.
Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.